and I, with all the painful seriousness of youth, explained to her that she was a narrow-minded little ignoramus and didn't know what she was talking about. Did she even know the meaning of astral projection? Yes, said Elsie with great emphasis, I do. I know more than you think. I could come to you tonight if I wanted to. I laughed rudely and immoderately. She knew no more of occultism, theoretical or practical, than I of needlework. Elsie, small blame to her, lost her temper. Very well, she exclaimed. I'll prove it. It's wicked, but I don't care. I'll come to your room tonight, and you shall see me there. All right, I replied, not in the least impressed. Come if you can. Then we ended our quarrel, and presently I walked home, over a mile from Elsie's. I straightaway forgot her in reading for my exams. I went to bed late and very tired. Her boast had seemed so childish, I never gave it another thought. Sometime in the night, while it was still dark, I woke, but it was a false awakening. I could hear the clock ticking and dimly see the objects in the room. I lay on the side of my double bed with tingling nerves. Something was going to happen. But what? Even then I didn't think of Elsie. Suddenly, there appeared a large, egg-shaped cloud of intensely brilliant bluish-white light. In the middle was Elsie, her hair loose and in her nightdress. She seemed perfectly solid as she stood by a chest of drawers near the right side of my bed. Thus she remained, regarding me with calm but sorrowful eyes, and running her fingers along the top and front side of a desk which stood on the drawers. She didn't speak. For what seemed to be some